Ross Owen Show is sponsored by DDayHistorian.com.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Welcome to this week's edition of The Ross Owen Show here on Black Sky Radio. Stay tuned for an amazing show today. We're going to kick off with Guns N' Roses.
me now. So take a look at 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 me now.
Ross Owen Show is sponsored by DDayHistorian.com.
It's probably one of your all-time favorite television series. And this December, it's your chance to meet the actors, who portrayed some of World War II's most well-known paratroopers. Join the actors from television's Band of Brothers series this December in Bastogne, Belgium, as they gather to honor the veterans of the Battle of the Bulge and in support of the nonprofit World War II Foundation. For the past 2 years, the actors have reunited in Normandy, France, and thousands of people have had the opportunity to meet them. Now, for the first time, the actors are visiting another of the most historic locations of World War II, where the 101st Airborne Division held off German counterattack after counterattack during some of the most extreme weather conditions witnessed in the entire war. We hope you join us in Bastogne for 3 days of amazing events with the Band of Brothers actors and veterans. Please visit www.wwiifoundation.org and click on our events link to order your tickets. The actors will see you in Bastogne, Belgium, December 9th through the 11th.
Hi, I'm Paul Woodedge, D-Day historian, a battlefield tour guide in Normandy, France. I offer tours of the D-Day landing beaches of 1944 along with my partner Magali. If you would like to find out more, see my website at www.ddayhistorian.com and my partner Magali's at www.ddayforyou.com. I am proud to be supporting The Ross Owen Show.
Black Sky Radio.
You're listening to The Ross Owen Show here on Black Sky Radio. I'm Ross Owen, and today we've got good news for Outlander fans. I'm delighted to announce that, due to demand, I'm going to host a regular series of interviews with the cast of Outlander here on the show. Now, which Outlander actors would you like me to chat to? Send me a tweet at The Ross Owen Show on Twitter, or leave a comment on our Facebook page, The Ross Owen Show. Now, coming up on today's show, my special guest is Grant O'Rourke, who plays Rupert Mackenzie, sidekick to Angus, who was portrayed by last week's guest, Stephen Walters. That's coming up very, very shortly, right here on Black Sky Radio.
When his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered round and started talking, Cousin Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows, to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see what he was. Yes, he was. Being good isn't always easy, no matter how hard I try. When he started sweet talking to me, he'd come and tell me everything is alright. He'd kiss and tell me everything's alright. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Lord, he was.
Yes, he was.
A big noise playing in the street. Gonna be a big man someday. You got
you big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing,
we will rock you. We will rock you.
Buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street, gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
We will rock you.
Sing it. Somebody better put your bag into your place.
We will rock you.
Sing it.
We will rock you.
Everybody,
we will rock you.
Up next, I'll be chatting to Grant O'Rourke, who plays Rupert in Outlander. Stay tuned.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever. Racing with the wind and the feeling that I'm under. Yeah, I gotta go make it happen. Take the world in a loving embrace. Fire all of the guns and butts and explode into space. Like a true nature's child, we were born, born to be wild. We can climb so high. I never wanna die.
Born to be wild.
Black Sky Radio.
Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say, could that lass be I? Mary of soul, she sailed on a day over the sea to sky. Mole was a stem, rum on the port, eck on the starboard bow. Glory of youth glowed in his soul. Where is that glory now? Sing me a song of the lass that is gone. Say, could that lass be I? Mary of soul, she sailed on a day over the sea to sky. Give me the sun that shone. Give me the eyes, give me the soul, give me the lad that's gone. Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say, could that lass be I? Mary of soul, she sailed on a day to sky.
Right, it's special guest time, and joining me this week is Grant O'Rourke, who plays Rupert in Outlander. Grant, thanks for joining us on the show.
Hey, no pleasure to be on, man. How you doing?
Listen, let's start at the very beginning. How did you land the role as Rupert? Talk us through the sort of audition process.
Well, it's funny, actually. I just sent off a self-tape, basically. You know, you kind of, you get auditions like this all the time for big shows, and you just send off your tape and you don't think about it because, you know, at some point in some stage in the process, the executives are probably going to pick somebody with a bit of a name or something like that for your part. So I just forgot about it and accepted a couple other jobs. And about 6 weeks later, they offered it to me on the back of the self-tape. So I didn't meet anybody until I was on set, basically.
That's unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very unusual. I mean, I don't expect it to happen again. But yeah, I spent like the first 2 weeks thinking they were going to sack me, just in case, you know, like in case they'd made a mistake or something.
Yes.
But yeah, it turned out all right.
Now, that beard of yours, a lot of people have been asking if the beard's real or if the beard's false.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's 100% me. It's my beard. I mean, because we film Outlander for so long. The first season we were filming for 12 months. So you'll see, like, in the very first episode, it's quite a short beard. It almost looks like stubble. And then by the end, you know, by the final episode, it was right down to my chest. So, yeah, I just let it grow through the whole season while we're filming. So, it's all me.
I sometimes grow a bit of a goatee beard, and when it's any more than that, I just find it really itchy and annoying. Don't you get that problem?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, no, it got pretty itchy, but you go through phases. You get to a stage where it gets itchy, and then it passes after about a week and a half.
Yeah.
And, like, I started using, like, beard oils and things like that. So, like, I started really looking after my beard after a while because I quite enjoyed having the beard. As an actor, you don't really get the chance to do that because you're always having to shave for roles, and you always have to look the same as well. Unless you're somebody like Brian Blessed, who becomes a bit of a trademark for. But,
sure.
I really like the. I kind of miss it when I've not got it.
Do you know, I mentioned last week on the show that I sometimes do. I live in Cumbernauld, and I sometimes do extra work on Outlander. And do you know the one thing that annoys me?
Yeah.
The wig. The wigs are, I mean, they're really, really great wigs. They're really, sort of, really expensive wigs, but they make me itch.
I know the makeup girls are always giving me grief because I'm always quite kind of picky about when they put the pins in at the start of the day for the wig.
Oh, that's
amazing. If the pins are sort of a little bit too tight, then you know that after 10 hours of filming, your head's going to be killing you. So I'm usually the one that sort of complained in the makeup van saying, no, you have to loosen that. That's a wee bit sore, that one. but we had problems as well with my wig. I think, I mean, nobody said it, but I'm pretty sure it's just because I have an unfeasibly big head. Because I have difficulty finding hats to sit me in stuff as well. So, yeah, we had a lot of problems with the wig for a long time. We got it right in the end, though. So.
Yeah. Now, you had a great bond with Stephen Walters, who played Angus. You guys provided a lot of comic relief together. How did you develop that chemistry with Stephen, and what's it been like on set for you without him there?
Well, you know, Stephen's a people person, I would say. He's much more so than me, anyway. So he's very easy to get along with, and right from day one, he was very chatty, and he was sort of, you know, he was very communicative about what he wanted for us. You know, and, you know, for our characters and stuff. And the rest of it just comes down to the fact that we spend 12 hours a day hanging about together on set, because we were always in every scene together. So, you know, we'd stand about just talking nonsense all day. And we kind of bonded over football. And, you know, we've got little boys about the same age as well. So, you know,
right. You're
never short of conversation when you're talking to Stephen.
Sure. Well, we had him on the show last week, and it was absolutely fantastic. Yeah. He was the first Outlander guest we had in the series, and I'm glad to see he's made up with William Shatner. We were talking about that last week. Have you heard his song for Shatner, Stephen?
Oh, I did hear. Yeah, I heard a little bit about that. Yeah
he's right.
But, you know, he's new to Twitter, and I did say to him, I was, you know, like I said to him, I was like, you know, if, when you're on Twitter, you should just be nice to people and try and just engage with the positive stuff and just ignore the negative stuff, you know.
It's
probably the easiest way to get through Twitter, incident-free, I think. It's a great place for trolls, Twitter. So, I just ignore all that stuff and don't think about it. Because I guess, especially when people are trolling you, that's what they want. They just want the attention. So I just don't bother. But if people are nice, you know, I'm happy enough to interact with people who are kind of nice. So I think I'm the only Outlander cast member for not have any banter with William Shatner. but you know, that's fine by me.
He's a big fan of the show, and of course, Steve has been writing all these songs. He's wrote one for Shatner, he's wrote one for Graham McTavish, and he's going to be doing one for Rupert, which I'm looking forward to. We'd hoped he would have had it done by now, and we were going to play it on the show, but unfortunately it's not done yet, but I think that's next.
When we were on set, Stephen's trailer was always next to mine. We were always in the same sort of trailer. So his room was next to mine. And he loves singing. I hear him singing every single day.
I think he's a great singer.
It's kind of inevitable.
I think he's a fan.
Yeah, no,
got a great voice.
He loves his music, loves playing guitar. And so it was kind of inevitable that he was going to start doing songs on, you know, on Twitter and stuff like that.
Sure.
But yeah, more power to him.
Excellent. Okay, now we have a couple of callers lined up. Fans from around the world. So I'm going to take the first one right now. Let me just bring the first caller in. Now we have Ursula on the line from New York, You're on the air with Grant O'Rourke. Ursula, fire away with your question.
Hi, Grant.
Hi, how are you doing?
My question was for you about your stunts in the show. The last one, I noticed that you were hanging on the horse, and you were just kind of grabbed on by Graham McTavish. And was that you doing the stunt, or do you have someone else that does the horse stunts with you?
Well, any of the close-ups that you see of me while I'm sort of hanging off the horse and, you know, looking around and stuff at the soldiers that were pursuing us, that's me, but that's me on the back of a mechanical horse, which was on a sort of a little trailer that was being dragged along by a pickup truck with the camera crew in the back of it. But the actual stunt, when you see the leaping over onto the horse, I'm not sure how much Graham did of it. I can't speak for him because I wasn't on the set the day that they were doing that. But the stunt team did most of the very impressive stuff. And they're really talented riders, those guys. So, you know, I can't take any credit for it.
Looks very good, very realistic. I didn't realize it was a mechanical.
It does. Yeah, no, it does. It looks incredible. I always, when I watched that episode, I remember thinking, wow, I am a great rider. Look at that.
Yeah, and it looks so scary when they had you hanging there, too.
Yeah. Well, it was only a little uncomfortable, it turns out.
Well, Ursula, thank you very much for your call. Are you still in transit in New York?
Yes, I'm on the train. We're heading to New York City. I'm with a couple of Long Island Outlander fans, actually.
Nice.
So they're sitting here listening to it, too.
You're going to be the coolest best friend for the rest of the day. We're going to get another caller on, Ursula. Thanks very much for participating in the show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ursula.
Have a great day.
You too, Ursula. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
We have Lisa on the line from Arkansas. You're on the air with Grant O'Rourke, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
And fire away with your question anytime, Lisa.
Well, I've seen a lot of interviews, you know, actors and actresses talk about it's a hurry up and wait. And I was curious to know what was like the biggest practical joke or most embarrassing thing you've had happen, you know, while just kind of milling around waiting for, you know, time to go.
What did we do to entertain ourselves, you mean? Well, Steven's a bit of a practical joker. He used to like phoning up and leaving official sounding messages on your voicemail in different accents. I was lucky enough, I didn't get any of them. But most of the time, we would spend the whole day just sitting talking complete nonsense. I mean, everybody's got a different sense of humor. Like Duncan, you know, has a very dark sense of humor sometimes when he wants to, which is kind of refreshing when you need a little kick up the backside sometimes. And Graham is incredibly eloquent and has an amazing way with words. He paints a really good picture with words, like to the point where he could quite easily be a writer. And well, I think he has done some writing in the past. But he can go on at such lengths about certain things that one day I almost choked on a sandwich when we were just sitting around talking nonsense. So mostly, that's how we entertained ourselves. When we're not reading, we're just saying a lot of things that are pretty unrepeatable for this time of night on the radio. But it was fairly easy to entertain ourselves because they're a very easy cast to like. Because they're all, you know, very different characters, but they're also very likable, and you know, as a cast in general, everybody's got a different sort of style about them, and you know, when you're working with people that you kind of love and respect, the days sort of fly by sometimes, but there are also days that drag on and never seem to end. So depends on the weather, really.
My other question was, if you could take the cast and reassign roles, who would you give what role and why?
Everybody plays their roles so well. I think I would just be swapping people around for the sake of it. I'd probably have Steven as Jamie, since he's the shortest of the cast. That would be pretty funny. I'd like to see Katrina and Duncan just switch their roles completely and have Duncan play Claire and Katrina play Murta. That would be... to be fair, I wouldn't have anyone else play my role because there'd be the fear that they'd do it better than me. So I'd probably just keep that for myself. Thanks.
Does that answer your questions, Lisa?
Oh, Oh, yes, very much so. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in.
No problem. Lovely to speak to you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye, Lisa. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
That was Lisa there from Arkansas. We've got one more caller. Grant, I'm just going to bring her into the call right now. We're bringing in Brandy from Illinois.
Who, sorry?
Brandy from Illinois. Brandy, are you with us? You're on the line, you're on the air with Grant O'Rourke.
Hi.
Hi, Brandy. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, yeah, grand. Just grand.
My question is, we know that everybody misses Angus, and I'm sure you do. So I was wondering, do you think that Diana Gabaldon should bring him back as, well, bring Stephen back as Angus's long-lost brother?
You mean in the TV show or the book?
Yes. Well, I know she does it in the book, but he wasn't supposed to die either. So I thought maybe there was hope that he could somehow come back.
As a different person. The actor could come back as a different person.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, who knows? I always thought it'd be quite nice to just see a scene. Maybe in like the final season, they're in Inverness in the 40s and they go into a bar or something and there's just guys that look like all of the original cast. Just because, it's just been passed down through the generations and we're all just playing different characters. But
That's true.
I don't know. I think maybe they could just do a whole prequel season that's literally just about Rupert and Angus and all the stuff they get up to.
That would be amazing.
I don't know how much the Outlander fan... Well, I don't know how much the whole of the Outlander fandom would go for that, to be honest. I think they'd just be keen to get everything moving again. But who knows what the future holds. Stephen's very much missed on set, so it was sad to see him go.
But, it was.
Hands to us all eventually.
That's true.
It was. It was a very different dynamic after he left as well, so...
Yeah, I've noticed that Rupert seems to just be lost.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, they do have kind of a codependent relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very different dynamic on set as well as to the characters now that Angus is gone. But we don't really know what's going to happen until we get the script. So it's really more something that the producers, obviously, and writers would have to address. Other than that, I'll just do whatever they give me in a script, to be honest.
Of course.
Does that answer your question, Brandy?
Yeah.
It does, yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being patient and waiting on the line, and thanks for calling in.
Okay, thank you. Have a great day.
You too, Brandy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Brandy.
Bye now.
Bye.
Now, Grant, we have another question, but this one has been sent in. It's from Susan Smith Finn in Wisconsin. And she says, Rupert's always chasing the ladies. Will he ever find true love?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't think he will. But, in the book, he's a widower. And although it's never mentioned in the scripts, that's kind of how I was playing it anyway, was that he'd maybe found love previously, but there was such a sort of low mortality rate, or high mortality rate, sort of, low life expectancy in those times that, he'd lost his wife sometime before that, and was kind of, it helped to inform a few parts of the character, because, he's obviously a little bit more sensitive towards Claire as the show goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And he also clearly has a better way with women than maybe Angus does, because out of the two of us, Rupert's the only one that gets the pool, so to speak. So,
yeah, sure.
It might sound a bit poncy, but that was sort of sitting in the back of my head all the time when I was filming it anyway. So
sure.
I don't think he'll find true love. I think he already found it and he lost it.
Yeah. Well, thanks to Susan for her question. Yeah. Susan is a massive... It was Susan that first told me all about Outlander before it even came on TV. She's a massive, massive fan. Massive fan. I mean, the biggest Outlander fan out there that I know. So thanks to Susan for that. And now, in the books, Rupert is killed off before Culloden. How early in the season did you know he would survive in the series instead of Angus?
We get the scripts for, we film two episodes at a time in a block, and we get the scripts for the next block, usually sort of during or just before the block previous to it. So literally, you're talking before we start filming it until you find out what's going to happen to the character.
Oh.
I mean, in the first season, it became pretty apparent that obviously they were telling the same story, but they were changing certain aspects of it to keep sort of the book fans on their toes a little bit.
Sure.
So by the time we came around to the second season, you got a feeling that anything could happen, and you know, obviously, as soon as we saw the first two scripts, and when we came back for season two, and Angus getting killed off, you kind of realised that there was no rules when it came to that, and so I didn't really have any expectations, and I was just, as soon as I read the script, that's basically when I found out.
In the series, Rupert survived, but he lost an eye, and he wears an eye patch now. What's that like for you? Does it mess with your balance and your coordination, or do you only wear it for like a few minutes at a time, obviously?
Well, I wasn't expecting that it'd be any, because I had a prosthetic made for my eye for the church scene when she has to remove the bullet from his eye socket.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a bit weird. If I was in a sort of dark room and I had this eye covered for the whole day, I'd start to kind of, and it's not quite hallucinate, but things start to look a bit fuzzy and that. But when we actually got the eye patch on, it was a bit of a relief because you could just remove that in between takes. But I did find it harder to text because I had no depth perception, so I kept firing at the wrong buttons on my phone. And the first time I got on the horse with the eye patch, I started veering off in the wrong direction slightly because I couldn't really see where I was going. But apart from that, it was fine. It was totally comfy. And to be honest, I think it was a good look for him, you know.
I think it sits him,
I think, you know, Rupert's attractiveness is directly proportionate to how much of him is covered up at any given time. So the more layers you're putting on him, the better he looks.
I have to say that during the filming, when I was there last year, it was in the summertime and it was great. It was nice warm weather. We were filming the scenes in France. It was magic. But recently, quite recently, I was involved in the filming of just leading up to Culloden in the camp base. And it rained, as you know, for like the whole week, and it was dead windy. How do you guys cope? I mean, you're wearing kilts. Stephen said some of you guys have got like hot water bottles and stuff, but still, it's the Scottish weather's, it's not always kind, is it?
Well, it's not. I mean, the crazy thing about the costume that I kind of learned from doing it was the reason that they were all made of wool, the whole costume, is not just because obviously they had access to all those sheep, but wool, when it gets wet, it starts to insulate your body heat.
Mm.
So I would have about 3 or 4 layers of just costume on, and you've got your thermals underneath, but then as soon as it starts raining, that's when you start getting warm finally. So it's, you learned a little bit about historical costume from doing that. I mean, it was a really practical costume. The bonnets that they wear as well,
mm-hmm.
there's always some people have always asked, it's like, is there any significance as to what side you wear it on or whatever? And it's like, it doesn't mean anything. What they do is, if the rain's blowing in from the side, as it often was on set, you know yourself, you just basically pull the bonnet over the ear that's getting blown into it, just keep your ears dry.
You adapt.
And that's how they do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you move it around. If you're going to have a nap, you just pull it over the front of your face, you know. So it's all really practical clothing from that point of view. And obviously, we're really well looked after on set. So, it's not as hard as it maybe looks on film.
We must give a tip of the hat to the costume department, actually, because the attention to detail on even our costumes, the extras, who sometimes you're only seeing maybe a little dot in the distance, the attention to detail is just incredible, and I just wanted to mention that the lens that they go to make it authentic.
I mean, it is incredible, the attention to detail, the designs that that Terry's sort of producing are not only incredible, but she's got this team of costume makers who make hundreds and hundreds of costumes in a very small amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they work their asses off trying to get these costumes out, and they look fantastic. And like you say, they're practical as well. So from an actor's point of view, it kind of informs your character a little bit as well. It kind of fills in a bit of their background because you've got this authentic costume on. It's incredible.
Now, the show is probably, I would say it's probably bigger in America at the moment than it is currently in the UK. How often do you get recognised in the street as Rupert? Does it happen much?
As Rupert?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever been recognised as Rupert, to be honest. I got recognised at the festival a couple of years ago, the Edinburgh Festival, but I had beard and glasses at the time, so they thought I was Frankie Boyle. But the guy was pretty drunk, and instead of correcting him, I just posed for a photo with him. But he's gonna wake up the next day with that photo of just some random fat guy with a beard and glasses and go, "Who's that guy?" But yeah, I think I look kind of different. I think in real life than I do as Rupert.
You do
the beard and the wig. So yeah. nobody recognizes me unless I'm standing next to somebody from Outlander or I've got the costume on.
Sure.
And obviously, I live in Edinburgh as well, so if anybody's ever recognized me in Edinburgh, I think they'd be too polite to actually do anything about it.
It's
nice. I mean, it's kind of like the best of both worlds, you know. I can just sort of get on, you know, go about my business, and nobody pays me any heed, which is great. Probably because nobody recognizes me.
What's in the pipeline for you now? What's coming up next?
Well, at the moment I'm filming a drama in Glasgow, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say any more than that, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Most marketing departments these days. Well, it's not like it's Star Wars or something. It's nothing like that. It's just every marketing department that works for TV now, they give you this thing at the start of filming saying you can't talk about this, you can't tweet about it, you can't do anything about it until we say you can, basically.
Sure.
It's a crime drama in Glasgow. You know, it's not the first one to be shot there, and it won't be the last, I'm sure. But
right.
It's nice, yeah. It's good doing that, and then as always, just the life of an actor. See what happens after that.
Sure. Yeah. On behalf of all the fans who are tuning in just now, they really are listening from all over the world. I want to thank you for taking the time to call into the show today and having a chat. Because the show means so much to lots of people.
It does, yeah. And you know, we see that all the time. I mean, I see it on Twitter, but you see, when we've been lucky enough to meet a lot of fans in different countries, and it's great, and it's inspiring, and it's a huge devoted fan base, so it's amazing to be able to do something for them and, you know, for them to appreciate it the way they do, instead of just, you know, pick holes with it or anything. They're obviously devoted, so it's a pleasure to be able to do it, is what I'm saying, in a roundabout way. Yeah.
I saw a thing yesterday advertised. You and Stephen are somewhere over in America. You're appearing at something.
We're going to be in Savannah.
Savannah.
Florida, I think, later on in the year. It's great. It's just a nice chance to meet the fans, and particularly with this kind of fan base, it's nice to get an opportunity to just have a bit of, FaceTime with people and to be able to, just to be able to chat to them and see what it means to them, and, you know, hopefully try and convey how much it means to us to be able to have the opportunity to do it as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's always nice to get the opportunity.
Well, Grant, thank you very much for doing this interview today, and I want you to pick the next song, the song we're going to play out with. Do you have a favourite band or musician?
Well, I get to pick any song.
Any song you like.
I'll take anything by Hall & Oates. How about that?
Magic. That's a great choice. We're going to play Hall & Oates right now, just for you. Grant O'Rourke, thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for your time today.
Pleasure, man. Nice speaking to you.
All the best.
Black Sky Radio.
You're a rich girl, and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
I need you.